While I'm moving it, can you read it? So, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. And this is going to be our context verse. Okay, our context verse to help us understand. When you're reading, it's good to get an overall understanding of a book, right? Let's get an overall understanding of who's writing, who they're writing to, what time is this writing, what's going on, right? So it's good to get a big overview map picture and then focus in. Okay, so we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 with this being our context. Okay, so Romans 8, 12 tells us there, therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Okay, debtors or obligated, whatever your Bible translation says, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. So therefore, brothers, taking, I'm going to go back in, even into 7, chapter 7, going all the way through, therefore, but for sake of chapters and verses, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, we are no longer debtors to the flesh, but we are but not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. You don't have to do it anymore. We're set free. Romans 6, right? Romans 6. All right, Romans 8, chapter 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now, you're going to see a discrepancy in the Greek. Okay, some Greek translations, that stops right there. Okay, so some of your Bible translations might stop right there. If you have a Textus Receptus Greek, which is King James, probably New King James, I don't know, NEV, anything that has that, it's going to add something. And let's see. It's going to say, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, the main context is those that are born again. So there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, stop. Okay? I'm not sure why the Greek translators, you know, that wrote Tetrasepis even added this. I think they might want to try and be in harmony with verse 4. I don't know. I never actually looked into it. But that's our position. So verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, there's a couple of laws there, right? A couple of principles, a couple of regulations. That's the law. They're going to see a different law, Old Testament law, but the two laws here are a principle to live by, a regulation. Okay? So, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has done something, right? Has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's going to sound like Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism and the death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Okay? So that stuff's dead. We're going to go forward. So these believers are going to get some help with changing their thought process. The next thing that you're going to start seeing coming up here to, as a believer in Christ, to change my behavior is where my mindset... Oh, I have to come back up here. Mindset is going to go help us go forward to our walk. Alright, so now he's going to explain. Now again, we just went through a huge ordeal with the law, right? Paul and the law, what the law couldn't do. The more that I tried in my flesh to do the law, you know, focused on that, the more the law I could not do. The more the law I tried, the more death came upon me. Now not again, he didn't physically die, right? It's more destruction, more bad, more wrong. Okay, sin came through the law. Sin came through something good because my mind was focused on don't covet, don't covet, don't covet, don't covet. What did Paul say? I coveted. Right? Verse 3, for what the law could not do. So the law couldn't do something, right? The law couldn't bring that justification. In that it was weak through the flesh. Again, the more the law I tried to live righteously, the more law I tried to do that, the more it exposed I can't do that. That's what the law does, right? It's a never-ending, open it up, infinity of can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. Right? To the Jew. Right? To the Jew. The Gentile, keep this in mind, a Gentile never had that thought process. He wasn't thinking, I got to do the law. He was going where? Some Gentiles just did what they wanted, right? Other Gentiles went and did, you know, pagan idolatry worship, right? Sacrificing to different gods, okay? But to the Jew here, we'll keep on going down, for what the law could not do and was weak to the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus Christ came down and fulfilled that law. We're going to see coming up that it's through Jesus that I can actually live out the law, live out righteousness, because Christ is now in me to live righteous. Okay? So, a saved person trying to live in the flesh is not going to please God. Okay, it's going to fail. But, here's where our focus is. For what the law could not do, and was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son. Now, that's a very important term, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? We'll do some dialogue here. Why is that an important phrase or statement? In the likeness of sinful flesh. Exactly. Exactly. My go-to verse when something like this comes up is not to be yours, but my go-to verse is 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's go ahead and go there. Keep our spot here in Romans. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's going to go right into, I can now do the works of righteousness, what the law is trying to do. I can now do it because Christ's righteousness is in me to actually achieve to do things that are right. Okay? All right, back to Romans chapter 8. That's why it's important. Yep, he's fully God, fully man, but he never sinned one time. Verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay? So, me living out a righteous, Christ-honoring life is fulfilling the law. Okay? You just looking at the law trying to accomplish that, it ain't going to work. I'm going to always fail. Okay? Like Paul said in Romans 7, the more the law I tried to do, the more the law I could not do. Okay? Oh, wretched man that I am, following the law. Okay? So even on the flesh, as a Jew still trying to do the law, isn't going to work. Now, you can apply this to even me just doing anything for God in the flesh. Right? Me trying to do it in my own power. It's not going to work. It won't happen. Okay? Now we're going to get a lesson on walking. Okay? Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set the things of the Spirit. Okay? So, my mindset, okay, where I'm focused on fleshly things of no value, of nothing for God, or me trying to do things for God in the flesh, me trying to do a law in the flesh, it's not going to work. I have to do it in the Spirit. So a saved person has to understand, I have to walk in the Spirit to achieve this. Not do it in my flesh. Not do it in my own power. Okay? Not looking for something else to accomplish it. I have to understand, I have to walk in the Spirit. Okay? It's the mindset. Here we go. Verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is hostile toward God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, where I set my mind, that's where my heart is, right? My heart's in my mind. My heart's here, not here. This is the organ pumping. My heart's here, what I'm focused on. Okay? If I set it on fleshly things, I'm going to live out fleshly things. If I set it on the Spirit, I'm going to live out the Spirit. Now, in this context, in other books, what comes to your mind? Let me help you. Go ahead.
Galatians 5.
Galatians 5. Let's go ahead and go there. Galatians 5. Keep our spot here in Romans 8. Very common terminology for Paul writing to believers to help them understand. Chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? So a saved person, walk in the Spirit, and what won't happen? Lust of the flesh, right? Now we're going to see what this flesh looks like. Well, we'll go to verse 17. For the flesh, what does it do? It lusts against the Spirit. It goes against it. And the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition one to another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We'll get to that leading here in a little bit, okay? So the works of the flesh are seen, adultery, sexual immorality, iniquity, lewdness, and idolatry. You get the idea, right? That's the flesh. It's things that are coming out of the same person, okay? Well, their mind is focused on the flesh. It ain't focused on walking in the Spirit. What other church comes to our mind? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's a little frustrated with this church. Godly people, they're in Christ, they're not godly yet. Some are, they're trying to do good, some of them. Others, not so much. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1, brothers, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men. Now, most translations don't have the word carnal here. Mine doesn't, but it's the same Greek carnal as in Romans chapter 8. But as to worldly, or carnal, even as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for to this day you are not able to endure it. So a carnal-minded believer, okay, someone focused on sinful things, can't endure the word of God. Okay, they can't handle it. Okay, they're babes in Christ, you're trying to feed them, and they can't handle it. I remember watching Andrea one time feeding, we might have just had Bailey. Maybe just had Addison. I can't remember now. Andrea's exhausted. I'm working full time, and then when I'm not working full time, I come home, I eat dinner, and I drive 43 miles to where the church was that we started. Okay, every night. So she's home alone. I mean, all day, every day. Okay, no one's bailing her out. She's so tired. She's feeding Ezra solid food, and Addison baby food. Well, somewhere in that transition, she forgot who she was feeding and went to put solid food in Addison's mouth. And Addison's like, heck yeah. And went down, started gagging right away. So she woke up like, what am I doing? What's happening? Right? A natural gag reflex. And a lot of times, if you're carnal-minded as a believer, you have a gag reflex to godly things. I'm not going to do that. No. Well, why? You're a believer in Christ. Why wouldn't you want that, right? So when I see a believer acting carnal or acting fleshly or acting worldly, that's telling me where their heart is. Don't listen to what they say. They're going to lie through their teeth, many people will do this, okay? They're going to lie right to you. But what is your life showing? When you give a spiritual truth to someone, they gag on it, you know, okay, your mind might be set on carnal things. Right? Does that make sense what I'm saying? These believers here, Paul's like, listen, brothers, I wanted to come and give you solid food, solid meat, some deeper truths of Christ, but I couldn't. Why? Because you're carnal. And you're yet carnal, he says. You're still there. I spent 18 months of my life there. Did you not learn anything? I mean, he's probably not thinking that. We spent a year and a half there, right? He leaves. Here's what they're doing. Writing. He's already written back to them once. It's the second time writing to them. I know it's 1 Corinthians, but it's the second letter. Writing to them going, listen, guys, you're still yet carnal after I've left, and I invested a year and a half into you. See, that's why it takes some time for certain believers in certain areas to get over that culture, right? To get over that culture. Does that make sense what I'm saying? All right. Back to Romans 8. Okay, they're still carnal. Then Corinthians, these guys are carnal. He's going to help walk here. All right, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. Colossians 3 says, set your affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Right? I'm setting my affections on things above. I'm setting my mind. Okay? I'm purposely engaging and going there. Okay? I'm purposeful there. Verse 5, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. Now again, they might not die physically right then and there. But carnal mind brings more sin. A carnal mind brings more death, more sin, more corruption, more bad, right? More things, more destruction. To be carnally minded is death, but what's the opposite? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, we're seeing two different believers, right? One is set on the flesh, trying to either live for God through the law. It's not going to work. Live for God in my own strength, not going to work. Or me just living, Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That verse is implying that when I sin, grace is abounding. Right? When I live in sin, God's grace can abound towards me. What shall I say then? Shall I continue to sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid, just because I can sin, doesn't mean I should stay over here in God's grace abounding. No. Right? These are grown adults that Paul's talking to. These aren't children. It's not a children's Sunday school. These are adults who have kids, who have jobs, who have careers, who are older, and trying to help them live righteously. Okay? He's focusing on the mindset, where I'm purposeful out here, to now go, okay, now I can start walking. That's how it changed someone's behavior. There's so much psychology. Everyone has all these different ideas and different things, and they go to their DSM-5, their manual, and go, okay, A, B, C, D, this is what you have. I'm for DSM-5, but it ain't the Bible. The manual that shows, oh, you're bipolar, or you're this, or you're that, without actually getting an MRI in the brain to show if they have a black dot in their head or not. Anyways. And then their DSM-5 says, prescribe these pills. How about it's sin? And Christ can deal with that sin. Now, all sin, listen to what I'm saying right now. All sin doesn't mean I'm purposefully wanting to be rebellious and transgress. There are things that are hanging me up that I'm sinning that I can't seem to figure out. I can't seem to get my brain wrapped around why I do what I do. When you read the Bible, that's what Paul's telling them, and Peter, and James, and John. Hey, guys, that's not who you are anymore. Stop living that way. Then he helps them understand how to not live that way. They're not figuring it out on their own. They need a teacher, right? See how God uses his gifts now to use the body to help each other? I'm just a pastor telling people who are sitting down what to do. No, you're responsible with your gift to go do something with it. God wants to use you to help his body, to help someone else who needs help. Right? Not everyone's going to read the Bible and go, I get it all. Fantastic. I'll get a job if that happened. I mean, I say job, but calling. If everybody read their Bible and went, hey, there's not even a need for a pastor or a shepherd. We don't even need him. There's no need for the gift of teaching. And there are many teachers that aren't pastors, right? There wouldn't be that gift. He wants to use the whole entire body. So we see the mindset and how to walk. Okay, here we go. To be carnally minded, verse 6, is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Verse 7, for the carnal mind is hostile toward God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Absolutely. Someone who's living rebelliously, setting their minds on ungodly things, are not pleasing to God. That's not pleasing. Now, does that mean that God doesn't love them as a child? No. Does that mean that God's not gracious and abounding towards them? No. See, a lot of times I thank God our church doesn't have this. Let me say this right now. Mine's the focus on thankfulness, and here's one of the big ones. I'm glad that when our church body sees someone who is professing Christ, who's a believer, living certain ways, we don't shun them and turn our backs on them and walk away. We don't do that. You know how rare that is? Or like, I don't like your personality, so I'm just going to kind of just stay over here. We look beyond the temporal things, the silly little things. And our Christ in me is connected to your Christ in you. It's the one Christ, right? The Christ in all of us bring us together. Now, are there times if a brother or sister in Christ wants to live in sin and they don't care and they're not wanting change? Then yeah, we want fellowship with them. I get that. But our first reaction is, I'm not looking for a way to stay away from another Christian. I'm looking for a quick get out to not be around another brother or sister in Christ. I'm looking for ways to get in, to be around them. And then as I assess the situation to see if they want to grow in Christ, keep on going. If not, okay, I'll pray for you. I'll back off a little bit. But when I see you, I'm still not avoiding you. Interesting, isn't it? Many times, for most believers in the world, the reason why they're on medicine is because no one's come alongside them and helped them to understand their victory in Christ. I'm for medicine. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying at all. I am all for medicine. But if you're a born-again believer, let's see how Christ can help that out. Right? Now again, I'm not talking like if you have an actual medical issue that you need medicine for. You know, medicine is not medicine being used as a remedy when there are other options. Make sense what I'm saying? Okay. Alright, so you can't please God, it's not subject to God. That's what the mindset is, right? There's nothing there. You can't do that. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And again, I don't know how they translated this way, because in the Greek it says, since then. So you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, since then the Spirit of God lives in you. I don't know why they translated it that way, because it's not a question, right? If God's dwelling in you, well, the Greek says, since he is, moving forward. Anybody else's Bible translation say, you know, if he is? No? Just mine? Okay. No, it does? Yeah. In the Greek it says, since the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So it's a positional stated fact. Okay? Let's see. Where am I at? The Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. That's pretty clear, right? Yeah, of course. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of what? Righteousness. Going clear back to Romans 6, right? So Romans 6, 7, and 8 are all together. Don't just get narrow-minded and like totally zoom, 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 zoom in and go, oh man, that says this. Oh, No, take a step back. Look how this fits in with Romans 6. I'm dead with Christ. Now, am I actually dead? No. But the sinning side of me is dead. I'm a new creature in Christ, right? To now move forward and not sin and live righteously. Right? This is helping my union with Christ, Christ in me, to do something with it moving forward. All right, let's see. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that lives in you. Cool, right? So Christ's spirit's in me. Taking verses 1 through 11, therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, we will die. But if the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, hold our spot here. He's going to really break it down even smaller in Romans 13. So go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Verse 14. Romans 13, 14. Actually, go up to 13. Actually, go up to 11. I'm done. No more actions. Verse 11. Furthermore, knowing the time is now the moment to awake from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. What do I do with that? Therefore, let us take off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, which has to be the armor of God that John did a great job going over. What am I doing with that? Verse 13, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness and immorality and wickedness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Right, that's what Romans 8 is telling us here also. Go back to Romans 8. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Okay? You got to provide ways of escape. That's what God does when temptation and trials come outside of my power. But don't put yourself in a position to sin. Right? Don't do that. Romans 8. Therefore, brothers, verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. To live according to the flesh, you will die, but the spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Let's stop right there and go to Romans 6. Go back to Romans 6. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase, grace may abound? God forbid. Right? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin? Am I actually dead physically? No. But the sin that's in me is dead. Okay? Let's see. Where am I at? If I died to sin, live any longer therein? Do you not know that we who were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Okay, so I'm in Christ, I'm unified with Christ to move forward and walk in newness of life. How do I do that? Romans 12, 2. And be renewed in your mind. Right? He's trying to help them out big time. He's going to tell them in Romans chapter 12, hey guys, hey, if you want to live a certain way, you got to renew up here. Be renewed in your mind, and then we're going to start seeing later in Romans 12 the gifts that God's going to use in us to get out to believers in Christ. Okay? We'll also see in Romans 12 what not to do. All right? So it's really clarifying and helping them. This is how you guys walk. I think all of Romans 6 is going to be in Romans 8 also. Don't yield your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves to God. Okay? And that's full of it in Romans 6. So Romans 8, back to Romans 8. Here we go. Where I set my mind, where I focus my thought process, where my heart is set, The deeds of my life will come out of that. So as a believer in Christ, just because I'm dead to sin's power, does that mean I'm not going to sin? No. I can actually live in sin. Even though I'm freed from that power, I can choose in my will to live in sin, that grace may abound, which Paul says, God forbid, don't do that. So we see a lot of flesh, a believer's mindset, a lot of carnality, a lot of people still thinking the wrong way, right? A lot of thought patterns. That's why he's going to say in Romans 12, you got to be renewed in your mind. You got to start changing this thought process up here. And he tells them what to focus on. Tells them how to do that. Isn't that awesome? Now again, he's not saying over and over and over about this is what sin is. These are what sins are. Okay? He's being more broad on Romans 6. Don't yield your instruments, your body, to sin. All these things are included in that. But yield them to what? God and righteousness. Why? Or how can I do that? Because Christ is in you. Okay? The law couldn't do it, guys. So why would you go back to thinking that the law can do it? The law can't do it. As a saved person, you can't even go to the law to help you do that. It doesn't have that power. I got to turn from the flesh, me doing what I want, when I want, live for God in my own power, live for God in my own way, live for God through the law, or just keep on sinning. That's going to bring destruction and death. I got to focus on yielding the Spirit, and walking the Spirit. I can make no provisions for the flesh, not fulfill those lusts. I can be renewed my mind to not fulfill those lusts. Okay? All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what spiritual warfare looks like. There is a battle for the mind. There's a battle for your heart. And what wants to creep in there is your flesh. You do it. The way you think is right. Because you know better. The Bible says it doesn't work that way. That's okay. The Bible is subjective in that area. What do you think that you will do to help you feel good, to help you do what you want, when you want, how you want? That's the flesh. The flesh wants to fall back on what's comfortable. And boy, we can justify, and I'm right in this basket with y'all, we can justify the flesh, can't we? We are good salesmen when it comes to defending why I'm doing what I'm doing when it's ungodly. We're good at that. That's just not even top. That's the part that's supposed to be dead. Why am I activating that? Why am I activating, defending my fleshly appetites and fleshly desires and fleshly whatever? I'm not even saying all, when I say flesh, I'm not even saying all these bad sins. I'm saying you doing something without God. That's man's number one problem. Man's number one problem is, I got this guy. Not the byproduct of these sins that are committed out here. It starts with, no, I got it. No, I don't need you. That's man's number one problem as a born-again believer. Is God, I got it. I don't need you. Believers do this. That's the battle. Satan said, I will be at the Most High. I will sit my throne above God's throne. I. Me. And so when you start looking, when you start reflecting on your life, you start seeing that you're doing things where I am involved and I'm this and I'm that, look who's tempting you. Because if your actions are focused on me doing what I want, how I want, when I want, even when I'm convicted and I suppress the truth, I say, no, I believe I have this right. The Bible's not an American Constitution, folks. The Bible's the Word of God. You have no rights. You died. You died. You have the right now to live righteously. Amen. Don't get the Bible confused with the Constitution and you sticking up for something because of your pride. And I'm going to do this. Before you do that, let's see how Paul handled that. I'm just saying. So, flesh. How do we have those fleshly appetites? Walk in the Spirit. Be renewed in my mind. Focus on righteous things. Focus on who is in me. Worst case scenario, John did a great job of this in Ephesians. The worst case scenario, the battle for my mind, is the helmet of salvation. I'm going to tie this in, John. Watch this. Helmet of salvation. When something's tempting me, I fall back on, I'm a born-again believer. And is this what born-again believers think about? This is what born-again believers do? This is what born-again believers start there. I am a born-again believer. Helmet of salvation. Is this a reflection of what the resurrected life looks like? Is this a reflection on setting my affection on things above? Helmet of salvation. Worst case scenario, trials, tribulations. Hey, I'm born again. Helmet of salvation, a battle to give up, a battle to quit, a battle to get doubt, discouraged, defeated. Watch those steps, people. Start doubting things. Helmet of salvation. Nope, I'm a child of God. I know according to Romans chapter 5 that God will allow things to come my way to produce something righteous in me and go forward with it. I'm going to start proving God right. Helmet of salvation, protect the battle of my mind. It might be uncomfortable, it might be hard, it might be uneasy, it might feel gross, it might all those things. But that's when God can start proving to you how great He is. You don't need God to prove how great He is when things are going well. You have to force yourself to remember to be thankful about in God when things are going well. Well, those well things are taken from you. That's when you start planting your feet down on the foundation and helmet of salvation going, at the end of the day, I'm a child of God, and I know for a fact, based on Scripture, I will go to heaven. I will resurrect. Worst case scenario. And in that moment, when it happens, everything I was anxious about, worried about, was afraid of back here won't mean anything. Doesn't even matter. Not even in the realm of eternity on where I'm resting with Christ. Isn't that amazing? The worry, the anxiousness, the anxiety, the fear, the circumstances, the trials, the happiness, the great things. I'm going to set my mindset on the Spirit so that no matter what's going on, it's going to allow me to walk in the Spirit and yield to Him. Because that's going to provide and get the righteousness of Christ out of me. Whether people want it or not, I don't care if people want it or not. I'm not living for anybody. But one person, and that's my King, my Savior. I'm not doing it if you like it, if you're comfortable, you're uncomfortable, you're okay, you're not okay. I don't even care. I'm not even focused on you. I'm focused on Jesus Christ and how I live my life will come out so peacefully and loving and kind. The fruit of the Spirit will just come out as a byproduct. How cool is that? I'll be steady with my feet in concrete. But it starts in Romans chapter 8 with where am I setting my mind? Those in the flesh and carnality, it's going to come out. You reap what you sow, Galatians 6. I set my mind on the Spirit, I'm going to live the Spirit. That's where I want to be. Now these are implying to a believer that you can be in one area, right? You can go back and forth. But I want to start staying over here on a daily basis. The more I reaffirm who I am in Christ, the more my behavior reflects my true identity. I got to practice, and 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 I got to practice. If all you're doing, you're doing a good job, keep it up. If all you're doing is reading the Bible, you're going to fail miserably. Reading the Bible is going to give you no power. It's a part of it, but you're wrong. But just reading, if you don't even read, you're a hurting unit. You're a hurting unit if you don't read. I have to read. I have to hear it. Read out loud. I'm in the church, right? Talk to people about the Word of God. Okay, I got to see it. I got to be around it. And the biggest part is, as I'm talking about it, as I'm reading it, as I'm going through things, I got to put it into practice. When I experience things, I'll remember. Oh, I won't do that again. Or when someone's talking to me in a counseling session and they're saying things, I have all this evidence built up. I've heard this same story. Different face, different age, different background. Men, they're saying the same thing as this person, this person, this person, this person. I know right where to go. Why? I've experienced it. I've done it. I want to start experiencing Christ. I want to start putting myself in a position to allow something to come out of me. Right? I can control that. I can control that. And if I'm not in a position to do that, where's my mind? I can control that. What's my mind focused on? The Spirit? I'm meditating on Scripture. I'm not memorizing Scripture. I'm just meditating on the overall, what's the Word of God saying right here in this text? What's the context of what this passage is saying? Focusing on that. Focusing on that. Thank you, Lord. Man, I'm so grateful that according to this happened because, and it's just becoming who I am. I'm meditating. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Protect your mind. I said it on fleshly things. Don't be shocked when fleshly things come out, right? I don't know if I did that to you guys. If I came to you and said, Don, man, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And you go, well, Jesse, were you focusing on those things? Well, yeah. Well, what were you expecting? Right? What were you expecting? You gotta change that. You gotta be renewed. Make no more provision for the flesh. Helmet of salvation. It sounds like a lot right now, but the more you go over it, the more you go over it, you'll see how John's lessons out of Ephesians, the Word of God that John went over on the armor of God, fits into Romans. They go right in. Paul just overlaps things. He overlaps them. It's just one big ball. It's just all encompassed. Sometimes what we do, hang in there, guys. I'm almost done. I don't want to lose you. Sometimes what we do to make things easy, we break it up. And we start chopping it up. Be careful about chopping things up. I'm all for that. I'm a system guy. But be careful that when you chop it up, you don't just stay right here. If you're going to chop things up to help you understand, you got to move on, Hebrews. Look at Hebrews says, hey, you got to move on from Christ. You got to move on and grow. Make sense what I'm saying? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, I'm so grateful for Romans chapter 8 and allowing us the ability to even have the right mindset. 1 Corinthians says that we have the mind of Christ. We just need to start acting on it and yielding to it. Lord, I can't imagine how encouraging Romans 8 is to the in the context to the believers at that time, what they were going through, to just be an encouragement to them, this new truth about Christ being in them, the Holy Spirit being in them. That's all brand new to them. A brand new concept of Christ in me to live victoriously, to live in righteousness. And Lord, Paul just being patient, other authors being patient with these folks on just helping them grow a little at a time. Lord, in that aspect, nothing has changed. As a believer in Christ, if I set my mind on fleshly things, I'll do fleshly things. If I set it on carnal things, I'll do carnal things. But on the Spirit, I'll do spiritual things. Lord, allow our hearts and minds to focus on this and to do what Romans 6 says and to yield our members to righteousness because Christ is in us and has given us the ability to do that. And if we're already doing it, Lord, I encourage those to keep doing it, but also to help someone else do what they're doing as well. Bless our afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll stand together. And I actually was able to tell Ezra to put song